one day in history, the greatest basketball coach ever was born. One day that man will wind up at Robert Morris, and three students will name a radio show after him. This is The Tool Shed. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Tool Shed, the most appropriately named radio show that I have ever been a part of. I'm your host, Logan Carney, here, of course, with Matt Kurtick and Luke Yost, guys. And why don't you guys just, you know, this first episode, let's just introduce ourselves. Matt, why don't you go first?
All right, I'm Matt Kurtick, junior sport management major, marketing major. Love RMU sports, love supporting them, and hoping this year we can win the NEC, right?
That's our ultimate goal. Luke, how about you, man?
I'm Luke Yost. I'm a sports comm major. I'm a freshman. Got to put that in there. And, yeah, just like Matt, I enjoy sports and love watching them, and that's it.
All right, we're going to get started here. Now, guys, Robert Morris basketball, they had 11 new players this year. They were predicted that, you know, ESPN had them outside the top 300 of the teams in all of college basketball. They're now 11-8, 5-1 in conference play, in NEC conference play. Of course, the NEC is not, you know, a strong conference by any means, but you're still 5-1 in your conference, so it was a great chance to play in, you know, the postseason tournament, the big dance. What has just been your thoughts so far on how the season has really been, you know, unexpected, strong for the Colonials?
Well, this is my third year watching them in person. You know, I read about them in high school and stuff, but just being able to watch them, the last 2 years have been kind of rough. You can tell we are lacking star players, players that can go out and perform and carry the team on their back. And I think this year we found a true leader in Deshaun Burke and another really, really great athletic player in Kobe Thomas. And with a little bit of junior leadership from Matty McConnell, hopefully he'll step up a little bit more this year. I think that we're paving the way to make it really far in the NEC tournament this year.
Now, Burke has scored over 60 points in his last three games. I believe he had 25 in the last game, 21 and 20. And he's just been on an absolute tear all year. You know, Luke, what has just been your thoughts on really the big three performances by, you know, Burke and Thomas, both on the scoreboard and rebounds, and then Matty McConnell, obviously the leader of the team, been playing great defensively, hasn't really, you know, he's been struggling a lot from the three-point shooting, especially recently, but, you know, those big three really, what has impressed you by their performance?
As far as Deshaun and Kobe go, together they complement each other really well, and Matty's been very cold as of late, especially behind three-point arc, but he's found a way to contribute to this offense without scoring the ball. Does that make sense? Everybody understand that?
You don't sound too confident. Well, this is a radio show. You got to be sounding confident in all your stuff. All
right. Okay. All right. I'll be better. It's still early. Early in our season, not necessarily in theirs.
And, of course, you know, the leadership and everything, the game planning by, you know, Andy Toole has just been absolutely phenomenal. You know, he's a guy that's, you know, taken this team to the NCAA tournament before. He's a guy that, you know, beat Kentucky. And he's a guy that looks to be going to win another NEC title, at least, you know, get to another conference championship, which they've been in a lot frequently, especially when he's been there. And then, but before we get more into it, let's just, you know, break down the last couple of games. We'll get to the loss a little bit later, but let's start with their win. You know, because it's been a very depressing week in Pittsburgh sports, especially. Oh, not so much up here in Robert Morris.
It's been a depressing 72 hours, I guess you could say.
So let's get into the win from Robert Morris. They took on, for those of you who don't know, Robert Morris took on Fairleigh Dickinson, the Knights, on Saturday, and they defeated them 81-75. Robert Morris improved to 5-1 in the NEC, and they were able to retake the NEC lead as both Wagner and St. Francis lost on Saturday as
big
well.
Big losses.
No, Matt, you're looking at the stats right now. What really stands out to you as far as, you know, both the good, the bad, the uglies, just the overall, you know, thoughts on the game?
I think what we see this year out of RMU is their ability to score, which they've been lacking the last couple years. So when you look and you see how they play in different halves and how they were losing by two after the first half, and they didn't shoot well. They shot only 33%. That's something that they're probably not used to either as a team, the fact that they can go out there and score a lot of points. And when they don't score, they don't seem to win. So it's definitely a lot different than any Andy Toole team that's ever been out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we both got the chance to cover the loss on Friday, unfortunately. We were both in the press conference afterwards, and, you know, I'm sure that you would back me up. Andy Toole was just not happy with the performance on the defensive side of the ball. And I believe that, you know, one of the quotes that stand out was he came out and said, you know, I walked into my locker room. Why are you guys all upset? You scored 80 points. Isn't that what you guys want? Yeah. Don't you guys want to look cool? Don't you guys want to be cool out there? You know, just what has been? Do you think that this team defensively can improve to the point where they can beat? You know, they have Wagner coming up. Beat past Wagner, you know, significantly in NEC. Get past St. Francis in the playoffs and all this stuff.
I think we lack an older player that can come in and just play defensive basketball.
So you don't think McConnell can? Do you think they need someone more than McConnell? Or?
I think there's just him right now in terms of players that understand that defense wins you basketball games. We have all these freshmen coming in that are, you know, coming in and, you know, tearing up the score sheet with, you know, points and rebounds and assists and, you know, not having as many turnovers as they should. But, I mean, like Andy Toole said in that post-game press conference, he said that taking a charge isn't sexy. And I think that's exactly what we see this year so far, because they don't seem to be playing as great as defenses I've seen them play.
You gotta
grind it out a little bit sometimes.
Yeah,
you gotta love those comments. Get dirty. By Toole.
I know.
Gotta love those comments. He had the one on Maddie. What was it? It was like you asked the question. The one reporter asked Maddie if the loss of Malik Petaway it has hurt the team significantly at all, and Maddie said it mixes up the rotation a little bit, and they asked the same question, and Toll's like, wait, what did Maddie say?
He's like, repeat that for me.
Did he say it mixed up the rotation? Did he say that last week when we won? we haven't had Petaway for 5 or 6 weeks. I don't know what he's talking about.
I know. I love his post-game press conferences. They're so funny. He's so brutally honest with us. It's so funny.
Win, lose, tie, he's best post-game interview ever.
Yeah, he's the best at it.
Now Luke, you look at those stats, you know, talk about they're scoring more. In fact, this is the first time, you know, I've told you guys this off. I put it in one of my articles, one of my recaps. This is the first time since 1991 that Robert Morris basketball has had four consecutive games with at least 80 points scored. So they are scoring the ball a lot more. But Luke, what stands out to you as far as the game against Fairleigh Dickinson?
Well, they did score 80 points, which is helpful, but there's going to be games where you're not going to be able to score 80 points or even 75, and that's what really stands out to me is their defense. Like, if they scored 80 points and they held the other team to, like, 65 or less, then you're kind of comfortable. But now that, you know, you're still letting 75 go in, it's not looking good. They did force 11 steals, though. So
does it worry you that they only beat Fairleigh Dickinson by 6? Because Fairleigh Dickinson is not a very good team. They're only 2-4 in the conference. They're 5-12 overall. Does that worry you at all?
I don't think it worries me one bit, because if you look and we outscored them by how much? We outscored them by 8 points in the second half, and that's shooting less than 50%. And if we can outscore them by 8 points in the first half, then it's not even a close game. And I think that's if we can just play defense, I think that's our big thing this year.
Yeah, but you look at the games prior to just Fairleigh Dickinson. I mean, these games are close. Like, there's not really other than the Central Connecticut game and Bryant were their big, like, I guess, statement games, as you can say.
Yeah, I'd say Central Connecticut.
It's probably their biggest win this year.
Yeah, but that's Central Connecticut, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
The big circle games are, in my opinion, Wagner, because you play them twice in three games.
They got them this weekend.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big game.
That's kind of the make or break, I think, for the season type of games.
I mean, I think we can all agree. You know, it's pretty much Wagner, Robert Morris, and St. Francis.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to be. Now, we've all been wrong before. You know, nobody thought the Jaguars were going to beat the Steelers. Everyone thought it would be a rematch.
Just don't even talk about
Patriots.
It right now. Just don't even talk about it.
It's still fresh.
But as far as basketball team, it looks like it will be one of those three to come away at the conference. Now, does it worry you guys? You know, Kobe Thomas has been a great scorer all year.
Mm-hmm.
He only had, I believe, 7 points. Yeah, 7 points or 5 points, even less. I was giving benefit of the doubt. 5 points in the Fairleigh Dickinson game. Usually bad games we see from him are, you know, 10, 11, 12. Does that worry you at all?
It does. A little bit, but at the same time, I think you have players that you can bring off your bench to complement that, the scoring aspect of that game, because he did have, what, 5 points? But then again, was that Leandre had 14, you know, Deshaun scored 25. Their bench goes deep as far as scoring goes. So I think him having a bad game, you can kind of hide that a little bit with your bench play.
All right, and now, you know, we're going to move on a little bit because, you know, we only have 30 minutes, and we're going to talk about the thing that we've all been dreading, the loss that me and Matt had the chance to, you know, cover. And it was a very, very frustrating game. You know, so, Matt, I'll start with you. What was your takeaway from the game? I mean, for me, you know, the team did not look ready. The team did not look – they looked like that they were – they felt like they were going to walk over, and then they had a lot of headaches. I mean, the one thing I remember, you know, Matty McConnell screamed at Leandre Washington. Yeah. That's who it was. Yes, Leandre Washington, whenever Washington got a technical, screamed at the top of the lungs, "Dre, shut up."
Yeah, that was a crowd silencer right there.
Yeah, and just everybody in the whole arena heard it. You know, are you worried that if they get into one of these tight games like St. Francis and Wagner and they fall behind early like they did to St. Francis, that the team mentally may not be able to pull one out?
I think you look at players like Leandre and Kobe and Deshaun and all those freshmen that come in, I think that they're not used to playing in close games where they have to battle defensively, and that teams aren't going to beat them if they score. And they scored 80 points, and you probably shouldn't lose too many games in college basketball if you score 80 points. But you look and you see three players scored over 18 points, and that just shows that they're not mature yet. And that shows Leandre yelling at refs that he's not mature yet right now, and it's a good learning game. I know you hate that term, learning. You shouldn't take losses as a learning game, but you got to learn through losses. I mean,
they have a lot of talent. They have arguably the most talent in the NEC, right up there. Right up there, definitely with St. Francis and Wagner for some of the most talent in the team.
I wouldn't roll out Junior Robinson at Mount St. Mary's either.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of talent, you know, at the top of the NEC, and they're right up there. They're right up there. You know, it's just the first time. It was their first conference loss, so you know they've won 5 other conference games. They almost beat NC State. They've had some really good games this year, where these issues did not come out. So, Luke, my question is, do you think that this is, you know, going to be a common – I mean, similar to what I asked Matt, but do you think this is a common thing, or do you think this is just going to be a one game, one bad game, shrug it off, they learn from their mistakes, and they'll move forward?
I think when you talked about Maddie getting up in Leandre's face about arguing calls, whatever, I think that's a very big move – not for just Maddie, but for the whole team. I think you have a guy that's like willing to go out there and kind of tell you how it is and not sugarcoat it. Not just a coach, but like an actual teammate. It speaks volumes for a team, especially like Robert Morris. But I think they're going to be comfortable. I don't think they're going to, when they get in these close games, they've played a lot of close games.
You really, sorry to cut him. You really can't, you know, sugarcoat the amount of, you know, effort and the leadership, the amount of great leadership that went into this team by Toll and McConnell and Burke, you know, the returning guys, to get 11 players that were new to the team and be able to be 5-1 in this conference. So, I mean, obviously, you know, those hiccups like that game are going to happen, but we cannot underscore the amount of leadership to the fact that they are 5-1, that they've been able to keep a team with 11 new guys together.
No, you're right. You're right.
It's a good thing for the whole team in general.
I think we lucked out a little bit so far, playing in conference play. We've played some of the worst teams in our conference, and I think that's a good confidence booster. I mean, if we come out of the gate and play Wagner and St. Francis and Mount St. Mary's, we might not have the same success that we do now, and we might, you know, fall to those bad Bryan and Fairleigh Dickinson teams. So I'm kind of glad we played them now, got it out of the way, and you know, we can beat them again in a couple of weeks. But
well, they've had some good wins too outside of conference.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Duquesne has been on a tear. They only have 5 losses now. One of them is Robert Morris, and one of them is Pitt. Yeah. Pitt obviously not that good, but the fact of the matter is Robert Morris did beat a team that's playing really good. You know, they blew out I'm trying to find it here on the schedule. But they've had some big wins against teams, you know, Youngstown State, Little Rock. They beat Little Rock by 14 points and wasn't a close game at all.
At Little Rock, too.
Yeah, St. Vincent. You know, the team has been very, very good this year. St. Vincent was preseason, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So they've beaten some pretty good teams this year. They've had some big wins outside of conference. They had a tough, you know, they took on Ohio State. They got blown out. They took on, but even though in that game, Kobe Thomas scored 20 points, something that
we're
used to seeing.
Number.
Used to seeing from him and Deshaun Burke. Deshaun Burke was hurt, and you know, NC State. They went to NC State and they were winning at half. Before, unfortunately, they fell and they lost, you know, still only by 12 at NC State at an ACC school.
I think that is the one loss that's kind of, you know, talk about statement wins. That's a statement loss for that team. When you go to an ACC school on the road and you only lose by 12, I think that's kind of like a, I want to say a confidence booster. And in a weird way, it's a confidence booster.
It was even closer than the score shows too. We were up.
They were leading at half.
Pretty sure
they were up by three at half.
And the schedule, I think, plays to the strength of this team because you're going to catch a lot of bad teams towards the end of the season, and then that hopefully that's going to translate to wins. And then you're going to play St. Francis, and that's going to be a dogfight of a game. I think we all agree to that. And then you go into the conference, and if you beat St. Francis as your last game. Going into conference tournament play, you're going to be okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're going to ride this wave and be good.
Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit more about conference. We got 13 minutes left. Once again, if you're just joining us, this is the Toll Shed, appropriately named after our head coach, Andy Toll. I'm Logan Carney here with Matt Kurtick and Luke Yost giving you all Robert Morris men's basketball talk. Now, we talked about the unfortunate loss. We talked about some of the things that have gone on this season. What do you guys see from the rest of the year? Do you guys think that this Robert Morris team can or will win the NEC? We'll just start off. It's our first episode. We'll ask that question right out of the gate. Do you guys think that this Robert Morris team can win the NEC? Matt, you're smiling over there in the seat. I know people can't see you through radio, but, Matt, you don't look too confident. What are you about to say? Matt, what are your thoughts on that question?
I think it's a little too early to say. Right now, I'm going to say no, but I think that I want to see them play Wagner, and I want to see them play Mount St. Mary's, and that'll tell me whether or not I think that. You just look at teams that have older veteran players against our young guys, and we can see how easily they faltered to St. Francis, and I don't know if it'll happen again, and we still have to beat St. Francis on the road in order to probably win the NEC. So right now I have my doubts, but I still think that we're a very good team.
Do you have your doubts? So who do you think is going to win the NEC then? Just spitball. Throw out your guess.
I think that St. Francis, PA, is going to win the NEC this year. I think that they have that Jamal Hill was unreal watching him play, 27 points. They are the highest scoring offense in the NEC. They score over 83 points a game. They don't seem to give up as many points either. So if you can score a lot of points in this conference, that sometimes helps too.
I'm on the St. Francis PA bus too, because if it's not going to be Robert Morris, that's probably going to be the team that wins it. I wouldn't be surprised to see those two teams clash in the finals for the conference championship, and it's gonna be a good game. And there's gonna be the back half of the season. I think for Robert Morris though is gonna be really four games. They play Wagner twice, then Sacred Heart and Mount St. Mary's. And there's going to be kind of four tests in the middle of the season that you're kind of looking for, just solid play from everybody on the bench and everybody on the court. You're looking to have a good year.
What about you, Logan? What are you thinking?
You're smiling too. I'm a little bit of a homer, but I'm still sticking with Robert Morris. I have a gut feeling about these kind of things, boys. I know. I had a gut feeling the Steelers were going to lose, and I have a gut feeling that Robert Morris is going to win. So that is my answer. I'm sticking to it. There's a reason they're 5-1 in the conference right now. There's a reason they're in first. There's a reason it's not Wagner, St. Francis, or Mount St. Mary's. There's a reason it's Robert Morris. I think the defense will improve as the year gets on. It looks like, go back to the St. Francis game. St. Francis shot about 50%, above 50% in the first half, and then they dropped 16%. down into the second. So that they have the ability that their defense can improve. And that's also without Matty McConnell, who is by far their best defensive player on the floor. If I'm sticking with it, I'm sticking with my gut. I'm gonna be the homer of the group. I'm fine with that, and I'm gonna stick with the Colonials. Now, some things I wanted to ask you. You know, they got two games coming up. One of them is Sacred Heart. Now, we're not gonna be like Mike Tomlin and overlook them. We're not gonna do that.
We can't overlook that team.
But there is a bigger game coming up right after that in Wagner. So Matt, what are your thoughts on both games coming up this weekend? You know, why people should tune in. What you think is going to happen? Do you think Rob Morris will come out of this weekend 2-0? You think they'll drop one to Wagner? Or do you think that they'll be looking ahead to Wagner and drop one to Sacred Heart?
See, I'm going to say they're going to lose to Sacred Heart and beat Wagner. And, I mean, I have a couple reasons for that. We've been talking about how they're a great offensive team and how they score a lot of points. And Wagner and Sacred Heart are the two best defensive teams in the NEC. They hold their team to the least, like, to low field goal percentages. They rebound the ball. They're the two highest in rebounding. I don't know, a young team that's trying to score a lot and they can't get their ball back and they can't make shots. I mean, that's a frustrating game for them.
They are facing against Wagner at home. Mm-hmm. Wagner's undefeated at home, the last team in the NEC conference that is undefeated at home.
Yeah.
How much of an advantage do you think that's going to be for Wagner? How difficult do you think it will be for the Colonials to pull out that one?
I don't know. It'll be a tough one, though. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much home and away is going to affect this team, especially since a lot of them are from the New York area. So if they're playing in Wagner, there's a lot of fans that might be coming that support them. The Sacred Heart one kind of makes me a little nervous. I'm not entirely sure about that one, honestly.
Luke, how about you?
I'm going to go with win one, lose one. I think they're going to lose to Wagner. Wagner's going to be a tough team. It's going to be very similar to the St. Francis game, I think, where it's going to be kind of drug out. You know, really, I mean, if you look at RMU, especially going back to the St. Francis game, they played two different halves of basketball. I think the first half, they got beat in the first half. And in the second half, they were playing catch-up, and they couldn't quite catch up, I guess. But, yeah. But, yeah, as far as the Sacred Heart game goes, I think they're just going to go in there and probably roll them.
Handle business.
Handle business.
Handle business. So you're more confident, you know, Sacred Heart, you know, we're looking at these things. You mentioned Wagner and Sacred Heart, top two scoring defenses in the NEC.
Yeah.
Well, Robert Morris is third. And we've been talking, you know, we've been talking a lot of, you know, baloney for lack of a more appropriate term about how their defense has been this year. And you know, but when you look at the stats, 72 points average per game, it's not great. But it's third in the conference. You know, it's ahead of St. Francis, who, by the way, is ninth in the conference. And their scoring offense, where we've been praising their offense, is actually sixth in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
Why do I think that?
Well, what are your thoughts? I mean, does it change, when you look at that, does it change your perception that this is an offensive-oriented team?
I still think it does, because I see Kobe Thomas missing free throws. I see him missing three-point shots, and I see his head down. I see Deshaun Burke doing the same thing. So I think that it's one of those things you have to watch the game maybe a little bit instead of relying on some stats, but just seeing their emotions when they're missing shots and how frustrated they get, leading to the technical fouls we saw against St. Francis and stuff. So I think it is a little less on the stats there, but a little more on just watching it and seeing their reactions when they keep missing and missing shots.
For me, I think it's going to come down to not really necessarily the missing shots and all that. It's going to come down to rebounding the ball. Wagner and Sacred Heart are top two in offensive rebounds, and Sacred Heart's top two in defensive rebounding.
Both top three in rebounding defense, too, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to come down to who can get more boards and who's going to dominate inside. And I'm not sure Robert Morris can – do that yet?
Robert Morris right in the middle of the pack. That's in true. Rebounds
we
on
are.
Both.
I think we don't have a size advantage. I see a lot of our players are kind of that.
They don't, but then you have guys like Matty McConnell who averages 6 rebounds per game.
I know,
so
it doesn't make any sense.
He gets those long rebounds, just kind of bounces.
There's a lot of effort when it goes into grabbing rebounds from Robert Morris.
Yeah,
rebounding is a mindset. You got to go in there and get it.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But looking at this, you know, scoring defense third. Do you think the defense is that much big of an – is looking at these numbers, do you think the defense is still a really big issue going forward, or does this maybe relax you a bit?
I still think it's an issue. I still just want to see them play a really hard-nosed defensive game, and that might change my perception a little bit on it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I don't think – I'm not relaxed about anything right now. So, I don't think – I mean, defense wins championships, right?
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
But you got to score points to win.
You also got to score. But I don't know. It's going to be good. It's definitely going to be good. That's why people should tune in.
Yeah, something big's going to happen this year with RMU. We're gonna do something big this year.
It's going to be something major, yeah.
So,
I mean, they got coming up. I mean, we'll continue dissecting into both games, but we are going to pull a little bit and look ahead to the Wagner game because, you know, while we don't like to minimize certain opponents like Sacred Heart, Sacred Heart's not going to knock them out of the playoffs because it's not a playoff game.
Yeah.
So right now they're facing Wagner in a game that, regardless of what happens with Sacred Heart, because Wagner has two losses, as well as St. Francis and Mount St. Mary's, that game could decide who's in first in the conference.
Easily.
So
easily.
Who do you think? You talked about you said you win. Why do you think? I mean, you said they'll pull out the win against Wagner. You said they won't. Luke, we'll start with you. Why do you think they won't pull out the win against Wagner?
Because Wagner's dominant at home. I think that's one of those. It's one of those things that I think it's cliche to say, you know, home field advantage, but especially for Wagner, I think it is something that you can kind of lean on there. You know, nobody's really been able to go into Wagner and control the game, I think. So, that could be.
Matt, your rebuttal?
That could be it.
I'm not sure. I don't know how much that home field advantage is going to.
Home court.
Or home court.
It's the basketball podcast. Let's get our terms together.
All right. I don't know how much it's going to affect the game. I mean, a lot of their losses, you say, like, they lost a lot of games away. Like, that's, like, most of their losses. But, I mean, all their losses are basically against really big schools. So the ones that they're playing at home are against the conference teams that don't really seem to be making a name for themselves yet. Sacred Heart and Fairleigh Dickinson and teams like that. So I don't know if they've played anybody big at home yet that would change my mind about that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend.
Now, we talked about home court advantage in both of your answers. I mean, Matt, you minimized it. Luke, you said that's going to be the big reason.
Yeah.
Robert Morris and the rest of their schedule after Wagner, 6 of their last 10 games are home, including a 4-game home stretch where they'll take on both Mount St. Mary's and Wagner. How important is the home court advantage going to be for Robert Morris going forward?
I think it's everything. I think if this team's serious about NEC tournament, I think you want to have it here in Robert Morris, because if you can beat these teams here, I think that's going to be beneficial to have them come back, play you here again, and try to beat you again.
I think that us playing home is more of a we're not going to play away thing this year because we're not playing at home, I don't think, because PBG Paints isn't home for us. And it's not home for our fans. It's not home for our students. So I don't think that playing home right now is a big advantage for us.
You don't think it's an advantage at all? You don't think it's a big advantage?
I don't think it's a big advantage. I think it's always nicer to play home. It's always nicer to come to the game from your dorm room or from whatever hotel you're staying at in Pittsburgh. I think it's nicer to come from there as opposed to traveling all the way to, you know, Staten Island and playing there. But I don't think that playing at our court at PPG Paints is going to be a big deal compared to playing in, like, the Soul Center last year.
I understand. And, you know, we all got the new arena. I'll be ready next conference season, hopefully.
Hopefully.
They say it'll be done in January, but we all know what happened with the rec center. They promised us a smoothie bar that they raised their tuition for us.
Still a little upset about that.
Still waiting for that smoothie bar, Robert Morris.
I'm waiting for that smoothie bar.
I don't like smoothies, but it's about the purpose.
Dr. Chris Howard, if you're listening, you promised us a smoothie bar. We love what you're doing for the school, but we never got that smoothie bar.
Yeah, we're waiting for that. We need freshens in the rec center.
So I'm a freshman. You got 3 years to figure it out.
So But coming forward, you know, we're actually running out of time. We're at the 30-minute mark. So, you know, I was to skip the last question. We'll talk more about that last episode. Why don't you guys just give your final thoughts? You know, Matt, we'll start with you. Why don't you just give your final thoughts as I play our theme song over in the background?
RMU's going to, you know, go out there, play the next couple games, win or lose. I still think this team is very good. I still think we have a very good chance to win the NEC regular season tournament and get ourselves all the way to the NCAA tournament this year. It'd be really nice to see that before I graduate.
What about you, Luke?
Yeah, I think this is this is probably one of the best Robert Morris teams that I can remember. Like, I haven't really watched prior to coming here, but like just remembering, you know, the kind of the sports culture at Robert Morris, this is kind of one of those teams that is special, I guess you can say.
We don't know what's going to happen with the football team. We need this basketball team to do well.
We need basketball. That's all we got left.
We need basketball. Yes, we do. And we'd like to thank you all for joining us. This has been the Toll Shed. I'm Logan Carney here, appropriately named after Andy Toll, with Matt Kurtick and Luke Yost. Thank you all for joining us in our first episode. And we will see you the same time, same place next week.
Joint. The night won't score 100 points. Or when the Celtics won titles back.